remembered Pastor Ina, the little dog. Ina has this little dog, invisible dog. And so, and this dog, she lets the dog loose and the dog laughs. That's this crazy little toy that she has. And he laughs his head off. As the dog is moving, it just stops and rolls and laughs and keeps on going, rolls and laughs. And so I think that in the world that we live in today, we need a good laugh. Look at your neighbor and say, we need a good laugh. I remember once Isabel said that sometimes her and her first husband, they would go at nighttime and they would turn on some really crazy laughing comedians. And so they said that when they got done ministering, they would go find themselves a good laugh. So we need to laugh because the Bible says it's like medicine. There's the dog. Do you see the little puppy? Listen. Listen, I'm going to put the microphone to the dog. Oh, my God, bring it out. So we have some crazy holy rollers in here, too, right? Yeah, so when I think about being joyful, I think about that little puppy, okay? How many's ever really had a good laugh in the Holy Spirit? Yeah, and you know it's the Holy Spirit because you just keep on laughing, right? And so if you ever need to get around someone that's laughing, get around my mom. Because you'll be laughing, and within 5 minutes of conversation, you'll be in a good laugh with her. But I would just encourage you that if you're ever discouraged, find someone that you know can make you laugh. And go have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or go have some lunch with them just so you can laugh. Amen? All right. God is good. So Pastor Dave lays out some pretty powerful prerequisites here for a joyful life. So I'm going to toggle between his notes and my notes. So we'll start with the very first one. We are to hold fast, and your first fill in there is wisdom. So we are to hold fast to wisdom. And then our first couple of scriptures is Proverbs 3:18. And it says, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. So how many know that wisdom is part of a prerequisite for a joyful life? Holding on to the word of the Lord. And let's take a look at 29:18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law or keeps the word. Amen. So a righteous lifestyle, he has highlighted here, a righteous lifestyle will yield joy. So as you serve the Lord and you're walking in him, you'll be joyful. You could be going through a storm or a trial, and someone will say to you, are you okay? And you can say, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. I am so good because inside of me, there's the hope of glory. And inside of me is the peace and joy that I know that I already have in Jesus, no matter the storm or the trial that we seem to be going through. Amen. So, however, we must hide God's word in our heart. Say with me, I got to hide God's word in my heart. That's right. Proverbs 15, verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. So how many know your bones are healthy when you receive a good report? Amen? So refuse to receive a bad one. So if you get a bad report, refuse to receive it. Go back to the good report because that brings health to your bones. In John 15:11, as these things I've spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So how many know our joy is full when we hold on to the word of God? There is nothing that the enemy can do to you to rob your joy unless you allow him to. Right? So if you open up the door and give more glory to the devil is what you're going to have. But if you open up the door to the word of God and you begin to speak the word of God, the more joy and the more health to your bones you will have. I mean, that's a powerful prerequisite for living a joyful life. And I have this scripture in the Passion Translation. I want to read it to you in Proverbs 3:18. It says, seeking her brings the discovery of untold blessings. This is seeking wisdom. is the discovery of untold blessings. For she is the healing tree of life to those that taste of her fruit. Hold fast to wisdom. Hide God's word in your heart, and you will begin to have joy. The joy of the Lord will certainly be your strength. Isn't that beautiful? That's the Passion Translation. That's pretty awesome. Okay, so our next bullet point here is God's grace will enable us to give ourselves to others who are in need. And it's found in Proverbs 21 and verse 15. It is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. That's a pretty powerful word, isn't it? Whatever we sow into someone's life will cause us to reap it in our lives. There we go. We can get on a tithing message there, can't we? And a giving message there. But whatever we sow into someone's life will cause us to reap it in our life. So if we give to those in need, we will never find lack. Right? I mean, that's just a basic principle. And it's a prerequisite for living a joyful life in the Lord. Let's take a look at Luke 6, 38. Says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So we often quote that during our wealth time. But it's pretty powerful because when we give into someone else's life and we give and we give and we give, we reap the benefits because God is no respecter of persons. And he watches over his word to perform in our life. So if we're doing what God is calling us to do, giving to someone, going over and cleaning someone's house, going out of your way to do the supernatural, taking someone to the doctor's office, doing whatever God has called you to do, those same benefits you will reap in this life. Yes. All right, so God's grace, and I just put a couple notes here. God's grace comes as we give into others. It's part of a joyful life. It is joy to the righteous to do justice. But to the wicked, consider acts of justice their destruction, for they know that they deserve such. And that's the Passion Translation there. And in Luke 6:38, in the Passion, it says, give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you. Shaken down, make more room for, abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Your measurement of generosity becomes a measurement of your return. So this is how we live a joyful life. So it's giving. You know, in the book of Acts, no one lacked for anything. Acts chapter 2. No one lacked for anything. So I was talking with Pastor Lorraine. I'm reading a book. It's kind of like it's a book that goes with my lesson. And so it's called A Timeless Church. And in this book, it talks about how church doesn't stop on Sunday. Save me, church doesn't stop on Sunday. So it continues to go. And so in Acts, they understood that in the early days. They understood that. So when they left church on Sunday, they were still fellowshipping with the brethren on Monday. And on Tuesday and on Wednesday, they were breaking bread, sharing with each other, praying for one another. And so when they came back to church and gathered together where they gathered, they were already refreshed and knew what everyone had need of because all the needs were already being taken care of because church doesn't stop on Sunday. It continues to go on, right? So say with me, church doesn't stop on Sunday. Yeah, it doesn't stop on Sunday. All right. So the next bullet point, and this is another fill-in here, stop worrying about tomorrow. So that's your fill-in. You know, worry will rob your joy. Worry will come against you like a powerful arrow being shot from the enemy. So worry will make you sit. Worry can make you freeze. Worry can produce all kinds of anxiety, depression, anger on the inside of you. Worry is from the devil. Say with me, the worry is from the devil. Right. And he's a liar. Right? He's a liar. So stop worrying about tomorrow because tomorrow is not here and we're still in today. And there's something the Holy Spirit wants to do today. We still have till midnight. So he still wants to do something today. So why worry about tomorrow? Yeah. That's a powerful prerequisite for living a joyful life, Pastor Dave. It's not worrying, right? If you want to be happy, don't worry. Rather choose to trust God's plan for your future. And it's a beautiful plan, Carol. It's a fabulous plan that God has for you. So everything that he has promised you, every single word that he has given to you, it will come to pass in your life. And actually, things are going to begin to speed up for you. There's a new dimension that God is going to bring you into. In your workplace, I see God beginning to open doors for you and give you more favor and begin to elevate you. And you'd say, that can't be possible right now. But God says all things are possible in Him. And He says, watch and see what I won't do for you. There's also more finances coming your way. I don't know where they're coming from, but God says they're coming your way. So get ready for that. I don't know if that involves a promotion. I'm not going to get out of the prophetic word, but God has something powerful for you, and He doesn't want you to give up. He's got a plan. He's got some powerful things in store for you. Okay, so Proverbs 16 and verse 20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Say, I'm the one that trusts in God. Yes. In Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all His ways. So that's what we have to do. So trust in the Lord. So, and many of us have gone through situations where all we can do is trust in God. Amen. We talked yesterday on Tuesday's class, we talked about being steadfast and how being steadfast is a sign of spiritual maturity. And it is to be steadfast. To be steadfast in the things of God will cause you to live a joyful life, will cause you to do some supernatural things that you never intended or thought that you could ever do. Amen. All right, so let me just read my notes here on this. I thought about this when I was studying. We hear the saying, don't worry, be happy. You know, that sometimes rings in my head sometimes. But as Pastor Dave states, choose to trust God, and this brings joy. As we handle things without worry, it builds trust in the Lord. Paul states in Philippians 4:4, he says, and this is not in your notes, you can maybe joggle it down. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And in verse 6 in the Passion Translation, it states, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. So spending time with God in prayer brings you into a joyful life. Amen. Say, I need that. Yeah, sometimes we need to be reminded of that. All right. So long-term goals are realized. Oh, am I on the wrong place? I'm way down. Okay. Let me toggle back up again. Okay. So the next bullet point is don't be hasty. Rushing headlong into something. Be circumspect, considering the consequences of your choices. How many has ever stepped into something before you knew the whole details? And how many have landed flat on their face? How many has had a big old pie thrown in your face? Yeah, because you move too fast. You move too hastily, right? Oh, I've done that. And so a key to living a joyful life is watching what we say and listen. So don't be hasty, rushing headlong into something, but be circumspect, considering the consequences of your choices. And let's take a look at these scriptures in Proverbs 28 and verse 14. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. In 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. So I'm going to just share something with you here. So happy is the man, listen before you speak. In Proverbs 18:13, in the Passion, it says, listen before you speak, before you've heard the facts. Because if you don't hear the facts first, humiliation will come. And this is not in your notes, but this is a powerful story, and it's in Daniel chapter 6. And it's when King Darius was ruler at that time, and there was governors, and there was satraps, and there was three governors that they had chosen, and Daniel was one of the governors, and they were against Daniel. And this is a synopsis of the story. They were against Daniel. They didn't like Daniel. They didn't like that Daniel prayed to another god. They were jealous over Daniel, but the king liked Daniel, and he was one of the governors in the land during the time. So they went before the king, and they talked to the king, and they made the king make a decree. And the decree that they made was, I wrote this down, the decree was, and this is Daniel 6, the decree was, whoever petitions God or man for 30 days, except for the king, shall be cast into the lion's den. And when Daniel heard that that decree had been made by the king, now the king was being manipulated by the ones that didn't like Daniel. So he went ahead and made that decree because he felt good. They came to him and they fed him and they made him feel like he was a god. And so he made that decree, not being wise when he made that decree. And so Daniel, when he heard about it, Daniel still prayed to God three times a day. So Daniel wasn't going to obey the king. He was going to obey God. And what happened to Daniel? Daniel was then thrown into the lion's den. And what happened? The king was like, couldn't believe that Daniel, that he'd made such a decree. So humiliation was coming upon the king. Just like the word of God says, humiliation and shame comes to us when we step into something that we don't know the complete facts about. So, but we know the end of the story, that God delivered Daniel. God delivered Daniel and God made all things right. But that's a powerful story. So recognize when you hear something, be slow. Don't be hasty to speak. Get the facts first and you'll live a joyful life. Amen. that's a powerful. I encourage you to go read that story to refresh yourself on that. Okay, so let's go to the next one. There is joy in giving to the poor. That's your next fill-in. So there's joy in giving to the poor, as the Lord directs, Proverbs 14 and verse 21. That's important, as the Lord directs. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. And then let's take a look at 19 and verse 17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. That's something. So let me read that again. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. And so Pastor Dave says, what about the rich young ruler? And I just want to read that for you. And that's found in Luke 18. I'm going to start in verse. I don't think I put it. Did I put it up back there? Oh, I did. Okay. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So this rich ruler told him, I've been doing those things. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, and he was very rich. How many of you know it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Because sometimes we put our focus on money, and we put our focus on wealth, and that begins to rule us. And I love what Gary Cassie says. That we have to release it into the kingdom realm. So when we release our money into the kingdom realm, it then is returned to the earthly realm. So we got to get it out of the earthly realm into the kingdom realm. And this rich ruler didn't understand that fact. I just want to read you what my commentary says here about that. He says, the ruler was under the impression that the eternal life could be earned by good works. But Jesus shifted the focus that goodness only comes from God. Either the ruler had kept the commandments listed in verse 20, or Jesus preferred not to argue about that. The latter is most likely, especially since Jesus' follow-up command revealed that the man was more interested in wealth on earth than treasures in heaven. So when we give to the Lord and we give to the poor, we're actually, he becomes the debtor. So God gives back to you and I. And I just put some personal notes here. We are happy when we show no respect of persons. To have the opportunity of lending to the Lord is a great privilege in this life. Yet very few people take advantage of that. Some do, but very few don't. The poor we will always have, and we have the poor in all places. So the opportunity is everywhere at all times. It's present for you and me. Think of it. God himself becomes the debtor for everything given to the poor. How much you advance God on this basis, God will pay it again. For in no case has he ever failed to do so. And Luke 6:38 tells us very clearly, when we give, pressed down, shaken together, God's going to give it back to us. Give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For the measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. This is how, and this is a powerful prerequisite of how to live a joyful life in the Lord. Amen. Many hold on to their riches, like the rich ruler. So when God gives it to you, we need to learn to be that conduit from heaven to earth and to release that back into the kingdom. Amen? Because we don't own it. It's really not ours. So everything that we have on this earth isn't ours. One day, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be in heaven, and all my earthly goods are still going to be here. They're still going to be here, sitting here in my house, in my closet, here. So why not on this earth don't I listen to the Lord and start giving what I have to give in my hand to give? Because the poor will always be with us, and when we do, we are giving that unto the Lord. And there's nothing that the Lord will withhold from you when you do that. That's a powerful prerequisite for living a joyful life. Amen? All right, so the next one Pastor Dave has, and we're talking about having a joyful life. In order for a person to maintain joy, he must have a goal and a purpose. So say with me, I must have a goal and a purpose. Yes, Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Long-term goals, he has highlighted here, long-term goals are realized by establishing and accomplishing short-term goals. So let me just explain this real quick. So the Passion Translation states it like this. When there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss will fill your soul. So I would say to you, what is your vision? Write it down and then stick to it. So do a little bit toward that goal every day. So this is a key to maintaining a joyful life in the Lord. So if the Lord says, and I love Isabel's story, that she was going to write, and she said, I can't write. I don't know how to write. But every day she began to write down one word or a sentence. And every day she put the plow in the field. And she began to do what God has called her to do. So whatever goal that you have, tomorrow when you wake up, do something toward that goal. So if he's called you to write a devotion, well then, get up tomorrow and do a devotion. And write that devotion down and say, this is going to go in my book. You know, put a little question, put a little heart there and say, this is going in my book. Or if the Lord has called you to be an entrepreneur, do something, a goal toward that so that you can achieve that. You will have a happy life if you begin to do that. Because where there's no vision, the people perish. Right? So write that vision out, write that prophetic word out that you received, and begin working toward that goal. Baby steps will eventually achieve big steps. That's right. Amen. And you'll eventually do all that God has called for you to do. Yes. And that's a powerful key to maintaining a joyful life in the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. So let's see. Where are we? We're down here to the next one. Being a peacemaker. That's your next one. Thank you, Jesus. So being a peacemaker by restoring people to Christ brings joy. And I think out of all of these, I think this is the most powerful one. So I think that in the time that we're living in, we need to be peacemakers. We need to be running into the streets and being peacemakers. We need to be stepping up where others aren't stepping up and being the peacemaker that God has called for us to do. So let's take a look at a couple of these scriptures. So Proverbs 12 and verse 20. Deceit in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace will have joy. Say that with me. But counselors of peace will have joy. And look at this scripture here in Psalm 126, verse 5, and I'll explain it to you. So those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Is that it? Okay, yeah, I guess that's it. Okay, I guess longer in my other Bible. Okay, so Proverbs 12, verse 20 in the Passion Translation, it says, deception fills the heart of those who plot harm, but those who plan for peace are filled with joy. Be a peacemaker. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Do I have 6 up there? Can you pull that up? 126, 5 and 6. I'll go there in my Bible. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to be a peacemaker. Okay, let me see. I think this is the scripture I'm looking for. Do I have the right one? 126. Okay, here we go. Okay. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I want to explain this to you. This is a powerful tool for sowing and reaping. This is a figure of a man who was discouraged, of his crop failures. So this particular verse. To the point of despair. But he sows again in tears. And then the prayer, and then he prays for no more failure. He sows the only seed that he has, and God hears him and gives him an abundant increase. This is also an application that when you sow the word and become peacemakers, it will produce results that God himself has intended. His word will never come back void. This is a powerful prerequisite for living a joyful life. So I want to tell you that whatever you have sown into, whatever you have put your seed into, whoever you are praying for, whatever child needs to come back to the Lord, whatever situation that you find yourself in, and you've cried and you've sowed in tears, I'm going to tell you tonight that God is going to bring that back to you again. God promises in his word, he says, I watch over my word to perform it. There is nothing God says that his hand cannot do. He says, when you sow in tears, you're going to reap a harvest. The sheaves are going to come running back to you. So when you pray for something and you get discouraged like the farmer, and he got discouraged to the almost to the point of complete despair. But what did he do? He turned with tears again and sowed the seed, the only seed that he had, and God brought him in that harvest. So I'm here to tell you that God is getting ready to bring your harvest in. He promises you'll see that harvest in this lifetime. God says yes and amen to the prayers that you've been praying. He promises salvation is coming to your household. Say with me, salvation is coming to my household. Every child that I bore is coming back into the kingdom of heaven. Every cousin, every niece, every uncle, every aunt, every grandmother, every spouse is coming into the kingdom of heaven because I have sown into the kingdom. And God is faithful, say that, God is faithful to watch over his word and he will perform it. God says yes and God says amen. And God says that you have all the power of the kingdom of heaven living on the inside of you. So begin to be steadfast in the Lord. Begin to rise up and begin to say no to the devil. Tell him, no, you can't have it. You can't have that. Remember their testimony, Ronnie and Roseanne's. I talked about this yesterday. Their testimony yesterday was, bring that box back to me. You can't have that, devil. You can't have that box. You can't have my son's car. You can't have that box. You've got to bring that back to me right now. So we have to get that kind of determination, the kind of determination that says, God says, wow, look at my daughter. Wow, look at my son. You go. I'm going to act upon your word because you're speaking my word. So I'm going to act and I'm going to release all of heaven to go and get that to happen for you. So we have to speak the word of God. Amen. And we have to remember that the seed that we sowed, and we have done much crying and much toiling and much despair over it at times, and things come and words come and problems come. We know that they're there, but we've got to get to the place where we don't see those things and call those things as though they're not, as though they are. Stay with me. I'm going to call them. That's a prerequisite for having a joyful life, you know, when we call those things as though they're not, as though they are, right? People might think you're cuckoo for coconuts, but when you speak, it happens, right? Yeah, you're standing on the promises of God and you know that they're true. It's like, you know, the doctor, when she said that my eyes were going to be so black and blue, like somebody gave me this really bad shiner, you know, that I got punched in the eye when I broke my nose. And I said, oh no, I'm not having that. I'm not waking up to no black eyes. Oh no, she says, and she shows me her fist again, you know, oh no, you got to prepare for it because that's going to last longer than the healing of your nose. Oh no, I said. I looked at my son and I said, no, Bobby, my son's got his head down, you know, because he thought I was cuckoo for coconuts probably. And so the doctor. But I said, no, I'm not having it, you know, because I got into the truck with him and I was just discouraged that she said I was going to have that. And I said, no, I'm not having that. And so I went home and I went to sleep and I had to sleep in the recliner with my head elevated. And so early in the morning, my son gets up and he comes to the living room and he wakes me up and he takes his phone and puts his flashlight on it. And he comes right down to my face and wakes me up with a flashlight in my face and says, Mom, you don't have any black eyes. I opened up my eyes. I said, I told you I wasn't going to have any black eyes. So God and all the host of heaven came and responded to the word of God that I spoke. I had nothing to do with it. All I did was speak his word. I'm not having that. That doesn't belong to me. Those black eyes don't belong to me. Amen. And so sickness and disease, fear and trauma, they don't belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we sow and we toil, we can expect that we're going to bring in the sheaves with us. They're going to come dancing and shouting and coming right back into the kingdom of heaven. All right. So let's see, where did I leave off? Number eight. All right. So our confession, that's your next villain. Our confession will either give us joy or bring discouragement. And this is found in Proverbs 15:23. So 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. Have you ever got a word in good season? Yeah, it's powerful, right? So someone gives you a word and, boy, I needed that today. I needed for someone to say that. Or you get a phone call and you think, oh, thank you, Jesus, they called me today. You know, and you needed that, right? There was a time when, and this literally happened. So I was in my kitchen. I was living in upstate New York, and I was like at the end of myself. How many's ever been at the end of themselves? You know, you just been through some stuff, and you know, you've gone through some trauma, and you're just done. You know, you just get to the point where you're done, and you know, and I literally took the kitchen towel and I flung it over me. I said, I'm just done, and I just threw the towel. I'm just done. I don't want to hear anything else. I'm done. The phone rings, and it's these two people, Debbie and her husband's name Scott, and they're on the phone. They call me, and they say, we just had the craziest picture. We saw you just, I'm done, and throw a towel. I said, I was busted. I was busted by the prophet, you know. I was busted. And so I started to cry. I said, yes, I just did that, you know. And so they prayed with me, and thank God, a spoken word in season, it brought health to me. And I said, oh, Lord, forgive me that I would even render that thought, that I would even think that. Amen? Okay. So let me just give you a couple more things in closing. So, well, first of all, a wise man has joy in his answers of wisdom. A word spoken in season is a healthful refreshing. It brings joy. It's speaking our confession, like Pastor Dave said. And yesterday I spoke on being steadfast. Jesus always spoke the result and not the problem. And so when a problem comes, we need to speak the result of that problem. So if you need finances, you begin to say, I'm rich. If you need food in your house, I've got cupboards full. If you need a new pair of sneakers, I've got new sneakers on the way. They're coming, right? So whatever it is that you need to begin to speak it, right? So if your daughter needs to come back to the Lord, Tanya, you're coming back. You don't have it. You don't stand a chance. You're coming back. And you're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ one day. You're going to come back and do what God has called you to do. So we speak those things as though they're not. Our confession is powerful. And Charles Capp says it this way. He says, the word of God conceived in the heart, informed by the tongue, and spoken out of the mouth is creative power. So I'm going to say that again. So the word of God conceived in the heart. So we conceive it in the heart. So we place the word of God in our heart. And it forms by our tongue. So we're speaking it out of our tongue. The spoken word out of our mouth then becomes creative power. So it creates. When I said no black eyes, I got no black eyes. Right? When the Lord said to me one time, don't take fear, I didn't take fear. And I didn't have what the doctor said that I had. So our confession is powerful. And that's a powerful prerequisite, as Pastor Dave says, for living a joyful life. So one more thing in closing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So the word of God conceived in the heart, formed by the tongue, and spoken out of the mouth is creative power. Okay, so that's life and death, right? Yes. Yeah. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we can speak life or we can speak death, right? So if there's a problem or you're going through something, speak life to it. Even if it looks so devastating, still speak life. Amen? Because God will always honor his word. Anna, will you help me with something? Will you pass these out for me, please? I want to share something with you in closing. I looked this up, and this is, I think you'll be blessed by it. This comes out of the help guide, and it's called Well-Being and Happiness. And I'm just going to share some things about living a joyful life and how we need the power of laughter in our life. That's where I started this evening. I want to finish there. Thank you, Carol. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm living a joyful life. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to confess the word.
I'm going to confess the word.
Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, God's answering my prayer. And he's bringing the desire of my needs, he's bringing them to pass in your life. Yes, he's bringing them to pass. All right, so this is called Laughter is Good for Your Health. And I want to, and we know the scripture where it talks about laughter is a good medicine. All right, so do I have that scripture, I wonder? Do I have that down here? Yeah, so it's Proverbs 17, verse 22. Okay, so laughter is good for your health. Laughter relaxes the whole body. A good, hearty laugh relieves physical tension and stress, leaving your muscles relaxed for up to 45 minutes. Look at your neighbor and say 45 minutes. Yeah, so if you need to relax your muscles, laugh a little bit. All right, so so laughter boosts the immune system.
Yeah.
So laughter decreases stress hormones and increases the immune cells and infection-fighting antibodies, thus improving your resistance to disease. Tell your neighbor you need to laugh more. Laughter triggers the release of endorphins. So the body's natural feel-good chemicals, the endorphins, promote an overall sense of well-being and can even temporarily relieve your pain. So if you're in pain, laugh a little. Laugh about it. Yeah, laugh about it. Okay. So laughter triggers. Okay, so laughter protects the heart. Laughter improves the function of blood vessels and increases blood flow, which can help protect you against heart attack and other cardiovascular problems. So look at your neighbor and say, gotta laugh. Keep your heart strong and laugh, okay? And here's another one. Laughter burns calories. Okay, so it's no replacement of going to the gym. You still need to go to the gym. But one study found that laughing for 10 to 15 minutes a day can burn 40 calories. So you got to laugh. And this could help you lose 3 to 4 pounds over the course of the year. So laugh a little. Okay, so laughter lightens anger's heavy load. So it lightens the anger's heavy load. Nothing diffuses anger and conflict faster than a shared laugh. Looking at the funny side can put problems into perspective and enable you to move on from confrontations without holding on to bitterness and resentment. Look at that. So if you feel a little bit bitter and resentment, laugh. Just start to laugh. God will bring freedom to you in that area. Okay, and here's one that I thought was really cool. So laughter may help you live longer. Say with me, laughter may help me live longer. Yes. A study out of Norway found that people with a strong sense of humor outlive those who don't laugh as much. The difference was particularly noticeable in battling cancer. So people who laugh, look at your neighbor and say, I gotta laugh. We gotta laugh. So go home and put a comedian on tonight. Find yourself a place where you can just laugh. Where you can get in your car and just laugh down the road. Just start laughing. It's easy to do. It's easy to do when you're living a joyful life for the Lord. It's easy to laugh. So make that a part of what you do every day. Find that moment that you can just laugh. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm. Pardon me. Take mine. All right, so did everybody get a copy of that?
Yes.
Everybody's got one? All right. Well, God bless you. I love you. Live a joyful life. These prerequisites are powerful. And I'll go back real quick and I'll read Pastor Dave's fill-ins. So prerequisites for that is wisdom, stop worrying, don't be hasty, give to the poor, have a goal, set your goal and make a plan for that goal, be a peacemaker, and confess. Your confession is powerful. Start confessing those things that are not as though they are. Amen? Confess the word of God. I love you guys.
Amen. Beautiful.
Great job. How many know she always hits a home run?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And as do all our ministers who come up here.